Life can be unpredictable at times. Why is it that when things seem to go wrong, there seems to be oftentimes a cascade of things, you know, multiple things going wrong at one time? Things can bring you down even further. Life can be unpredictable. You know, I've heard a statement, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. The idea behind it is when life gives you lemons, when you have bad things happen, it's time to make lemonade. Well, what that means is it's trying to find the good out of the bad things that are happening. It's trying to see the good that can come of it, or taking bad things that happen and make them into good things. I've also heard of another statement. Life is like a road. The image here says, life is like a road. It has bumps, cracks, and obstacles, but in the end, it gets you somewhere. As Christians, life is like a road. You know, we first, you know, have to pick the road that follows Christ. We're oftentimes given opportunities to travel different roads. And as Christians, we have to first choose the right one. You know, in recent years in the United States, the road of the Christian walk has become less traveled. You know, it is not always easy. There are bumps, there are cracks, there are hills, there are valleys, there are obstacles. But this saying implies that the destination, the end, the what is at the end of the road, where it's going to take you somewhere, makes the travel worth it. As I begin my message today, we'll be looking at the story of Joseph. And we'll be seeing how Joseph's life, the road that he traveled, how that can apply to our lives. Let's first look at our passage for today out of Hebrews. Hebrews 11:22. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. You know, Joseph is clearly seeing the future, and we're not talking about just some general future. He's talking about an immediate future of the Israelites, something that is about to happen. Soon the Israelites will be leaving Egypt and will begin to move toward the promised land. I don't think we can fully appreciate this verse, what this verse is portraying, without exploring the highlights of Joseph's life. We will see bad things and good things throughout his life. Some things are bad enough that would probably bring a grown man to tears. But let's take a look at Joseph's younger years to begin with. We'll be looking at Genesis 37:3. Genesis chapter 37, verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Favoritism aside, we've already discussed the damage favoritism can lead to in previous messages. You know, Joseph, from his perspective, from the perspective of Joseph, he was in a comfortable position. He was in a secure place. You know, his father loved him and showed him his love. The ornamental robe was a gift, and it was a sign of favor, a sign that his father had favor in him. As far as Joseph was concerned, life was good. Life was great, at least for a moment. You know, Joseph then had a couple of dreams that revealed all of his family, his father and his brothers, would be bowing down before Joseph. These dreams and Joseph's discussion of them triggered further anger and jealousy from his brothers. Let's read chapter 37, verse 20, and then 26 through 28. Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams. Judas said to his brothers, What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay a hand on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood. His brothers agreed. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. You know, the life of Joseph changed in a matter of hours. He went from the favored son of Israel to a slave. No honor, no favor, and a very uncertain future. A future would be bleak at best, especially for a foreign slave. You see, he was a foreigner being brought into Egypt as a slave. Let's look on. Genesis 39, 1 through 5. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian, who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all of that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. Favored son, his life was forever changed. He was purchased by the captain of the guard, Potiphar. Joseph may not have been able to choose his direction in life. He still had a choice. He still was faced with a choice. He could blame and turn his back on God. He could have quit life and just did his work grudgingly. He could be in, open rebellion against his master. He could be these things. He could have been angry and bitter over the events of the past and allowed them to hinder anything he would do in the future. Joseph did none of these. He accepted his place in life despite where he had come from. He accepted he was a servant and would do it to the best of his ability. He served Potiphar as though he were serving God. And Joseph was successful, and there was success in everything he did. Joseph did so well that Potiphar, his master, placed him in complete trust and confidence in Joseph. The captain of the guard found favor in Joseph. The captain of the guard noticed there was something different about Joseph, that there was a presence of the Lord with everything he did. Potiphar recognized it, and Joseph is back on top of the world. He may be in a position of a servant, but he was extremely important as he had complete charge of Potiphar's estate. Everything. Joseph was important, not because Joseph was somehow talented. It was because the Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord gave Joseph success in everything he did. The Lord blessed the house where Joseph worked and lived. This is not to say that Joseph didn't long to be with his family. This isn't to say that Joseph didn't desire to be free in the land he grew up. I'm not saying any of those things, because I'm sure Joseph did have those desires. And I almost wonder if he didn't replay over in his head some of the choices that he made that led his brothers to selling him as a slave. Maybe wishing he could go back and keep his dreams to himself. Maybe to go back and not parade that ornamental vest in front of his brothers. I'm sure he went back over in his mind wishing he could take it back. But you know what? What's done is done. The only thing he can do now is learn from his mistakes and continue on in life seeking God's will and trusting that God has something good planned for the future. That's what Joseph did. While serving Potiphar well and serving God, Joseph was even successful in resisting temptation. Let's read about that in Genesis 39, 6 through 9. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in this house. Everything he owns has been entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a thing, such a wicked thing, and sin against God?" But Potiphar's wife was persistent. Let's look at verses 11 through 12. One day he went into the house to attend his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. Joseph responded as he should have. Temptation was right there. The sin was imminent. If he did not get out of there, something was going to happen. And so he ran. He ran out of there. A response that is most commendable. A response that we need to imitate when such pressing temptation is presented to us. You know, Joseph did what was right, but his life changed for him once again. Since Potiphar's wife could not have Joseph, she lied and accused him of trying to rape her. And we see a response from Potiphar in verses 19 through 20. When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me." He burned with anger. And Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. I almost want to say, can Joseph get a break here? I mean, he is rejected by his brothers, sold into slavery, and taken to a foreign land. He goes from favored son to slave. He trusts God and works for his master well and is promoted to the head of the estate with complete trust and continues a God-fearing lifestyle by resisting temptation. And now within one day, he's in prison. Maybe now is a time where Joseph is going to blame God. Maybe now Joseph will throw in the towel and say, "I give up. I can't take this anymore." Maybe now Joseph will blame God. Maybe now he will hold a grudge against all the wrong that has been done to him. But no, that's not how Joseph responds. Joseph keeps his faith in God and serves the best he can in the prison. Genesis 39, 20 through 23. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in prison. And he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. A pattern can be recognized here. Joseph feared God and served God in all situations. In everything that's been presented in front of Joseph, he has served as if he was serving God. We see over and over again that the Lord was with Joseph, and Joseph was given success because of God. Being in prison is no joy. It was no joy for Joseph, and he wanted out. He wanted to be released. But Joseph made every place he was at a place to worship and serve God. Joseph was in prison for several years. We're not really told how long. But in that time, he was able to interpret some dreams for the royal cupbearer and the royal baker. The cupbearer was asked by Joseph to remember him, but he did not. For a couple of years. It was not until Pharaoh had two dreams that could not be interpreted by his magicians or by his wise men. Only at that time was Joseph brought out of prison and consulted by Pharaoh. Even when asked about his dream interpretation skills, Joseph defers the honor Joseph defers the honor, saying, I am not a person who interprets dreams, but they are interpretations given by God. So Joseph defers the honor to God and not himself. And when Joseph gave the interpretation to Pharaoh, Pharaoh concluded that Joseph was a wise man and could discern God's will. Let's begin to look at the next step in Joseph's life. Genesis 41, verses 39 through 43. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command. And men shouted before him, make way. Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. God was with Joseph. And even now when Joseph finds favor with Pharaoh and all is given, all authority in Egypt, Joseph continues to serve as he always had. Even when he is on the top of the top, he's now second in command, second in charge in all of Egypt. Nothing changes as far as his respect for God. He still serves as he always had. Circumstances in life, whether up or down, did not deter Joseph in his view of God or in his service to him. You know, Joseph had many life experiences. In chapter 37, he went from favored son to slavery. In chapter 39, he went from bounty in Potiphar's house to bondage in jail. In chapter 41, he went from prison to dominion. He had complete control over Egypt. These experiences were virtually polar opposites. It's amazing what Joseph went through. How then can we here in Christ Community Church apply Joseph's story to our lives? Maybe some of you can reflect on your own life experiences and see ups and downs in life. Maybe some were a result of poor decisions. Maybe they were a result of something that was out of your control. Whether you were prosperous or in need, have these times affected your dependence on God? Unfortunately, for many, if things are going well, if financially your needs are met, those are the times that we typically forget God. When things are great, we tend to forget God. And then when the times are bad, when there are times we have need, then and only then do we seek God to supply those needs, only to forget about Him once those needs are met. How do we respond in the valleys, the difficult times of life? You know, Joseph is a prime example of how to respond. Trusting God, serving God, and continuing on as if whatever he is doing is as unto the Lord. I know I have struggled here. You know, sometimes in my valleys, I've gone, why God? Why me? There have been times where I just shut down. I didn't want to continue on in my difficulties. And you know what? That wasn't right. I'm not going to say not to ask why, because I think that's a common human response, but you need to know that God may not reveal an answer to the why question. Many times he doesn't answer that question of why. It is, however, our response in those low times that is critical. Will we continue to trust God and continue to serve wherever we are at as unto the Lord? In our tough times of life, will we continue to serve as unto the Lord? Or will we give up and throw in the towel and turn from God, allowing bitterness to creep in and take away any future or any hope, because that is the alternative. No future, no hope, just bitterness. You know, Joseph does a tremendous job at helping Egypt through a terrible famine. And Joseph's family ended up coming to Egypt for food. Joseph is reunited with his family and with his brothers who sought him harm so many years ago. I love Joseph's response to the things that have happened over the years when he spoke to his brothers. Genesis 50, verses 20 through 21. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph had the power and authority to make life miserable for his brothers. But Joseph did not hold on to bitterness. Joseph saw many of his experiences intended for harm as being used by God for good. Joseph learned that you cannot truly understand the present moment without looking to the future. You cannot truly understand the present time, the present circumstances, without looking to the future. As Joseph was ending his life, he saw in Hebrews 11:22, the verse I read at the very beginning, a moment of great faith when he gave instructions to have his bones moved to and buried in the promised land. Joseph, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they looked to the future promise given by God. We should be no different. We have a future to look forward to, the promise given to those who believe in Jesus Christ. That if you, in Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is a promise. That is a future. No matter the difficulties in life that come our way, we can choose to do all things as unto the Lord. And if they were intended for bad, we can trust God to use us and to make those things into good. When the difficulties become almost overwhelming, we can hold on to the promised future with Christ. As we persevere in our faith, when the low times are so low, we always have a future and a hope to look forward to and to hold on to. Abraham had it. Isaac had it. Jacob had it. Joseph had it. We all have it. Have you accepted it? Do you hold on to it like they did? Will you serve in all circumstances as unto the Lord? Will you do that? Let's pray.